Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast from Perimeter Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Jeff Norris. This is my co-host, Lars Story Elvington. And our goal is to equip you to follow Jesus by exploring the teachings and topics of the Bible, culture, and life.
We're so glad that you're here. And in this latest series, we're exploring God's heart for His people, the church, to live on mission for His glory. We're excited to be joined by so many amazing guests and to have you with us as we dig deeper into God's Word.
Now let's jump into today's discussion. Welcome back to Digging Deeper. We are, as always, thrilled that you're with us in whatever format that you're joining us and watching or listening to us. We are in the very last episode, episode 11 of this series that we've been in on the mission of the church. And this is one where we're not going to have a guest with us. It's just going to be Laura and me. And we're going to be just talking between the two of us about what stood out to us most, what were some takeaways from the many conversations that we had. This series has been awesome.
Yeah.
I hope you would agree with us on that. We've actually heard from a lot of you and gotten really encouraging feedback to how these guests and their stories and their insight, wisdom, so forth, has really, really encouraged you as a listener. And so that's encouraging for us to know that. And so we thought, you know what? It could be really good to have a final episode where we're talking about that from our standpoint of those who, you know, we're in a lot of ways, we're the listeners too, you
yeah.
and I. Like we're engaging with these awesome people that we're getting to interview and talk with and have conversations with, and we're learning a ton and being encouraged along with you. And so Laura, let's talk about it.
Yeah. I was thinking we would pick three main takeaways.
Okay.
Each of us would choose three, and it really has been such a fabulous.
What if
series.
I can't narrow it to three?
I know.
Like, can I go beyond three? Is that part of the rules you've made here?
Well, I mean, it's your podcast, so if you want to change the rules, that's fine.
No,
I thought we
it's
might.
Our podcast. Okay, I'll try to keep it to three.
Okay.
I think I can do that.
How about you? How about you start us off?
Okay. I think I'll start with this. And it parlays into, I think, the first thing I want to share about, which is, the mission of the church, kind of thinking of it like this, the mission of the church is not only about what we do and where we do it, right? When we think about, okay, what we do, we share the gospel and we make disciples and we serve the poor and we, you know, whatever, and where we do it, locally, abroad, all of it, you know, it's not just what we do, where we do it, but it's a lot about who we are, right? And that was something that really stood out to me in the one that we did, really both of the ones that we did right off the bat with Michael Reeves and with Jim Wilhoit. In those first two, it was really challenging for me. It was good for me. It was, a sweet reminder when they would talk about, for example, Michael Reeves, he basically said, he may have said verbatim, if you don't delight in God, you won't share Him.
Hmm.
And, you know, kind of getting back to that hardcore issue for all of us of, okay, if I'm not talking with others about Christ, if I'm not participating in the mission of the church, should I, could I, would it be appropriate to examine my own heart? And he basically said, yes, you should.
Yeah.
One of the ways that we kind of worded it here is my problem of stagnation in mission actually a deeper issue of not enjoying God?
Hmm.
Because we talk about and we engage with others in what we enjoy.
Yeah. And oftentimes the mission of the church, we think of it as a discipline, rather than if there's something that you're excited about, you're just going to talk about it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
For instance, you get a little bit excited about Alabama football.
A little bit.
And no one has to pry.
And basketball now, too.
And basketball.
You know we're good in basketball now.
Oh, I didn't.
Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Well, we are, Laura.
See, this is what I'm talking
about.
There we
go. Yeah.
You are exemplifying this as we speak.
Yep.
If you're excited about something, you don't ever have to push yourself to talk about it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel obligatory.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So I love that Michael was sharing about, you know, when you're delighting in the Lord, when you're experiencing the fullness of who He is, it's just going to come out to everyone.
And you think about it, I remember we talked about this with him where it was like, okay, Westminster Confession of Faith, was the chief end of man, glorify God and enjoy him forever, and how we can easily kind of forget that second part of enjoy him forever. But then what falls out of, what comes out of enjoying God? Okay, if you glorify him and enjoy him, in your enjoyment of him, you will glorify him. And how so? Well, by engaging in his mission. Jim Wilhoit also, similarly, you know, we talked to him about spiritual formation. And he brought up, if you'll remember, about how even Jesus himself went through a process of formation, which is really kind of mystifying and crazy for us to think about, because like, wait, he's the perfect Son of God. But at the same time, it tells us in the Gospels that he matured, like he grew in stature. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it just means that even in his perfect humanity, there was still a growth process for him. There was a formation process for him. And what he was tying that to is the vital importance for us as imperfect folks made in the image of Christ, how vital it is for us to care deeply about our own spiritual formation, this is how he said it, as the first step of the mission, which is like, okay, we often think, okay, I need to really be thinking about how I can get out and go.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's great. Yes. But get out and go. But where are you? Where's your heart? Yeah. There's a little bit, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. There's a little bit of that where I'm like, yes, totally agree with Jim on that. But my only fear in that is that people will go, well, I'm not going to go on mission. I'm not going to share in the mission of the church until I feel like I'm in the right place. The question becomes, are you ever in the right place?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel spiritually ready?
Yeah, I think his point is that it's the mission is the overflow. You know, it's when we are delighting in the Lord, when we're being spiritually formed, the mission will be the overflow. But I also feel like it's a cycle. It's, you know, it's the being, you know, abiding in Christ that is sending us on mission. And then when we're on mission with Christ, it kind of pushes us back to abide in Christ more.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Okay, so I'm counting that as one.
Okay.
I talked about Michael Reeves and Jim Wilhoit, but it was the same category.
That was.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's one. What's your first one?
So for my first takeaway, I loved the conversation we had with J.D. Greer and his picture of the church, you know, the mission of the church, him picturing the church as an aircraft carrier, not a cruise liner, and not a battleship, but really this community that is on mission. And he said something that I want to read real quick. He said, "You'll never discover the purpose and plan of God until you're involved in mission, and you'll never understand the will of God personally until you understand his will for the world." You know, that kind of took me back to, I'll say, years, you know, when I was younger, but I can kind of slip back into that even today. But years when I was younger that I was praying, God, what is your will for my life? And so often we're asking that and we're looking for this personalized blueprint.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm wondering how many times is God just saying, like pointing to his word, pointing to his mission, his ultimate mission, how he's working in the world, how he's said in scripture my role in that.
Yeah.
But often I'm looking for something more personalized when maybe I just need to take that first step into things that have already been shown to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but you know, okay, God, what do you want me to do with my time? What do you want me to do with my resources? He's like, yeah, read the Bible. There's a lot. Jesus has a lot to say about that. Rather than me looking for this personalized billboard, you know, on my way into work, God's told us in his word how we can join him in his work.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is there an example in your life that you can give along that would illustrate what you're saying there, where you were seeking the Lord on, I need really specific, like, Lord, lead me here. And the answer you got was basically, look, just walk in obedience to me.
Yes.
And you know, I'm going to lead you where you need to be, and I'm not going to You know, is my question making sense?
Yeah. No, it is, because often I'm praying through, you know, with the children and with our family, like, Lord, I want us to be a family who is on mission. And so often I'm looking at, you know, this mission trip. Should we go on a mission trip for spring break? And not that that's not the right answer, but I feel like the Lord has been reminding me that, and I mentioned this in one of the podcast episodes, that when I take Josie to volleyball practice, I am sitting with the same set of 15 to 20 parents every week. And so often I'm just kind of checked out. I'm not seeing that as the place that the Lord has called me to be salt and light. Mm. So that's been pretty convicting for me.
Yeah. Sometimes I've seen it with some folks where it's like, okay, I've got three options in front of me and they all look great. And we get paralyzed with analysis because, you know, and maybe it's a three jobs in front of me. And they're like, which one do I take? Or it's, you know, I don't know, different scenarios where we get presented with things. And I think part of what we learn the longer we walk with the Lord is the Lord is not necessarily going to just go, okay, only that job, that one job. It's like, no, just take any of the three. They're all great. They're all good in different ways. And I have someone in any of those three there for you to impact for the kingdom of God. Like it's where, whichever one you pick, they're all good. Pick one.
Yeah.
Walk in obedience to me. Be faithful to the word, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what, and I remember with JD, that was a lot of kind of like, you know, until you marry yourself to the church and to the bigger corporate vision of the mission of the church, it's in that context that you begin to understand
absolutely
who you are and what your role in the mission.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we want to isolate it.
Because he designed us that way.
Yep.
He never designed us to go off on mission by ourselves in the first place.
Yep.
Okay, what's your second takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the conversation with Paul Miller was incredible. And I had shared in that podcast about how much his book, A Praying Life, had impacted me. And, you know, he says this here, one of the quotes that I took was, prayer both aligns our will with God's and activates, I love this language, and activates the resurrection in us. Hmm. So I think probably for some of our listeners, if not most of, or all of them, have probably heard at some point, okay, what's the purpose of prayer? And this was the question we asked him where he gave that answer. If you'll remember, what's the purpose of prayer? So, well, one is yes, to align our will with God's will. In other words, we often think I need to align God's will with mine. It's like, no, it's actually the opposite. The more we sit with the Lord, the more he attunes our hearts to his. But then when he said, but then it activates the resurrection in us. I can remember kind of being like, oh, wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
And when he said that,
oftentimes as you know, many of our listeners, Perimeter Church people, Reformed Presbyterians, the aligning our will to God's, that totally, I'm very comfortable with that.
Yep.
But then when he starts to talk about activating the resurrection within us, that's when we'll begin to say, whoa, what just happened here?
Well, and even like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I took it to mean, okay, what is resurrection? Resurrection is life, newness of life, abundant life, all the things that God created us for to flourish in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Okay, where is that activated? This is what Paul's saying, Paul Miller. Well, it's activated most fervently in prayer. So when we really go, okay, well, if I'm going to access what all that God has for me in this resurrection life that he's given me through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, then being a person of prayer with a people of prayer helps us to activate and enter into those realities more. So I just haven't heard it put that way. And I thought that was incredibly helpful. You know, we think about how another thing from that one is too often we don't realize how incapable we are in bringing about change in the world.
Yeah.
And so when we think about the mission of the church, we're so guilty of thinking that the work of the mission of the church is we got to go change the world.
Yeah.
We got to get out there and we got to do this and we got to do that and do all that. And we leave we leave prayer behind or we neglect prayer altogether. But actually, it's when we actually, maybe the process for many of us, I know it's been true in my life, is that when we get out there and get after it and we're not changing the world, things aren't happening, that's what we actually need to experience to remind us, oh, God is the one who changes. And am I approaching the throne of grace with petition?
Yeah.
Lord, would you change those around me through me? I can't make it happen. And so just kind of reassessing, reorienting our understanding of the power of prayer in the mission of the church.
Yeah, I remember squirming when he began to talk about, because I think I was the one that asked him the question of, so why is it that we don't pray?
Yeah.
And when he began to talk about kind of just a inflated view of self,
yeah,
inflated view of our ability to bring about change in the world, in our relationships, in the hearts of our children, all of that, I remember feeling a lot of conviction.
Yeah. And two, I can't remember if he said this, and it was that conversation or another one, but I think this was the one with Paul, but persistent prayer as well. Because a lot of times we give up because God hasn't answered in our timing, or we don't feel like he's sufficiently given us a response.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, well, I've been praying for years and nothing's changed. And yet we see story after story in the Bible where God is hearing the prayers of his people, but he's not answering those prayers for many, 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 many years. Mm-hmm. So even that persistent prayer piece is important. All right. What about you? Your second one.
My second takeaway would be that the mission of the church begins with vulnerability and self-examination.
Mm.
And I cannot tell you how many times we heard from people this idea that the mission of the church is not something that we kind of run off to. Mm. I mean, we've heard this. We heard it from Katie Davis Majors. How important community is. We heard from the episode we did on discipleship, the episode we did with Russ Ramsey, Rebecca DeYoung. So many people were talking about how it's not getting out there and doing. It's that sanctification is a big part of that, and that sanctification can't happen if we are not allowing others into our lives and allowing them the voice into our lives to maybe point out ways that our lives aren't what we think they are. There was so many great quotes. I'm looking down at my paper real quick. Russ Ramsey, one of the things he said was, if we want to be faithful messengers of hope, we must be transparent about the fact that we need saving. And he encouraged us, he said, be someone who is generous in allowing others to see our own woundedness and our need for a savior.
Hmm.
And I don't know what it is about, you think about being someone on mission and you hear the stories of the great missionaries and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder even, you and I both being in full-time vocational ministry, there is something that makes us want to... It's not that we're trying to be deceptive, but we do want to appear as if we are spiritual, mm-hmm. as if we have it all together.
Yep.
There's a bit of self-sufficiency or independence. All the while, we're wanting people to believe that we're completely dependent on the Lord.
Right. Yep.
I wonder what it is about us that makes us kind of shy away from the very thing that the Apostle Paul talks about, that it's our weakness. It's in our weakness that our strength is really displayed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, yeah. And the sufficiency of Christ is most seen and experienced by others in our weakness. We don't portray a Jesus who is the one who came for the weary and the heavy laden and the weak and the broken down. We often portray a Jesus, and we being the church, it's certainly true of me, where it's like, okay, if you accept Jesus, you can be put together like me. I want to give that perception more than I want to give, hey, I'm really broken and needy. And Christ is mm-hmm. meeting me in the brokenness, and he's putting me back together slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. But being put back together does not mean I'm all of a sudden this wonderfully righteous person. I'm on a journey with Jesus. He's making me righteous. Yeah. I'm not already in that reality, although I'm declared righteous. And so what's attractive to a person who doesn't know Christ is someone who oozes their need for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think how often I can be one who perhaps doesn't do that. Hmm. You know, where I go, what am I portraying? Am I portraying that, hey, if you just act more like me, then you'll be better off? Or is it, no, is the message my life is sending is if you'll run to Jesus and experience his rescuing grace, that's all I've got. You know, that's all yeah. I've got. So run mm-hmm. with me. Run with me. I'm not, you know, don't look at me, look at him.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful message.
Yeah, and I want to pause, but before we get to our last takeaway, you and I both have a friend that just wrote an article about this mm-hmm. for Christianity Today, mm-hmm. Chip mm-hmm. Sweeney, who is on our staff team.
Yep.
This is just a plug for him because it's such a great article. But Chip has walked this journey of really being honest about his brokenness, honest about his struggle of depression and things that he thought would maybe disqualify him from being part of the mission of the church. They're actually the very things that God is mm-hmm. using.
Yeah.
And just a tremendous minister of the gospel because he's been such a recipient of the gospel and he knows that. And so I feel like vulnerability, oftentimes we're trying to avoid being found out or avoid being seen.
Yeah.
But God is calling us. Hmm. He's saying it's your vulnerability that I actually want to use on this mission I've called you to.
Think about the biblical connection here. The story that I think of when we start talking about a topic like this is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who we can read a lot into her story based on context clues. And the context clues are she's coming to fetch water at the middle of the day, which the women of the village would have never done.
Yeah.
The customary thing was you come early in the morning before sunrise, when it's the cool of the day, and you go late in the evening when the sun's going down and it's the cool of the day. You don't come to the well at the middle of the day when it's the hottest, you know, there in the Middle Eastern context of the desert. So she's there in the middle of the day, which means she's hiding. She's ashamed. There's something about her story that she doesn't want other people to know. She doesn't want to be found out. She's responding a lot like Adam and Eve did in the mm-hmm. garden. It's like, my sin has driven me into shame and hiding. And she encounters the Son of God at the well, the long-promised Messiah. And do you remember what she says? This big, long, you know, you can read it in Luke 4. No.
Yep.
Yeah, Luke 4.
John 4.
John 4. Thank you. I was like, something's not right about that. Didn't sound right. Thank you.
You're close.
You're a better biblical scholar than I am. So in John 4, you can read about it there, but they have this long dialogue. But at the end of it, what always strikes me about the story every time I read it is she runs back to the village that she came out of hiding in the middle of the day. She runs back and she says to everyone in the village who she has probably been shamed by, you have to meet the one who told me everything I've ever done.
Yeah.
You have to meet the one who told me everything I've ever done, which means there was a whole lot longer conversation at the well than what John recorded for us. But the odd part of that statement is this. She's running in elation mm-hmm. and joy to tell a people who have shunned her, yes, I just met the one who's told me everything that I've ever done, and you've got to meet him. Why? Yeah. Because in my exposure to everything I've ever done, I met grace.
Yeah.
I met forgiveness. I met acceptance like I've never met it before, and you need to too. Mm-hmm. So it changed everything about mm-hmm. her. And so in our exposure, in being exposed for all that we are, it's actually the greatest thing that could happen to us.
Yeah.
So that we can experience all that Jesus is for us in our exposed sin.
Well, the podcast that you actually had to miss because you were out of town, Rebecca DeYoung talked about the seven deadly sins. Mm. You know, and that can be a little intimidating to think about. But we talked about it in the context of her purpose. What is that self-examination? Mm. Because it's our sin and our weakness that is the greatest. That's the inroad for the gospel.
Yep.
And that's exactly what you're talking about with this woman at the well.
Yeah. Yeah. One last thing on that is I remember a guy saying years ago, remember him saying the very best thing that could ever happen to us, and this makes us shudder and like, oh my gosh, no, that'd be the worst thing. But the very best thing that could ever happen to us is that everything we've ever done be broadcast, and this was before social media, so this was the context back then when I heard it in the 90s. But he said the very best thing that could ever happen to any of us is that all of our sin, everything we've ever done, be broadcast on the 5 o'clock news for the whole world to take in. And you go, no, I would never want that. But actually, as embarrassing as that would be, then we'd be free.
Yeah.
We'd be free to run to Jesus and experience the grace that is ours. So
that's so good.
So good.
Okay, your last one.
And that fuels mission, by the way, because when you're free to know who you are in Christ, then you freely tell others, just like the woman at the well. All right, my last one. I loved our conversations with Carl and Kellen. Kellen? How about Karen? Karen Ellis. About really a lot about Christian endurance and the persecution of the church globally. There was so much there that was so rich. But I'm going to parlay that with our conversation with Sandy Wilson. Because really both of them were talking about the global mission and how significant the need is. I mean, like some of the things that Sandy said, 8.2 billion people in the world, but 5.6 are not professing faith in Christ. And then 2.3 billion have no reasonable access to the gospel. Those are startling numbers. And, you know, as we had that conversation with him, I think one of my biggest takeaways with them and the Ellises was like, oh my goodness, there is still such great need. Because there's a temptation among some in the church that think, oh, it's the 21st century and through modern technology and modern travel, a lot of people, everybody's heard the gospel.
Yeah.
But that's just simply not true. There's still such a great need. And there's still such great persecution in the church. One other thing I'll mention though, that not everybody's going to be called to go overseas. Although I would love for many people listening to this to consider, am I called to go overseas? Maybe not like Katie Davis Majors, who went at 19, but maybe so. I think about that. My first time I went to China to do mission work was, I think I was 19, maybe 20. I don't know, but I was young. Anyway, where he said 75% of international students never enter an American home during their 4 years, and even 2 years of grad school, 4 years of undergrad and 2 years of grad school.
Yeah.
And I just go, gosh, do we have our eyes open? Yes, to the world and where God may be calling us to go and tell people about Jesus and be the hands and the feet of Jesus. But do we have our eyes open to who's around us here?
Yeah, especially living in Atlanta.
Yeah.
This is not some rural place. Atlanta, how many nations are represented here? How many, because the thing he was saying about the college students and the graduate students is oftentimes these are people who are coming to the States, getting their degree, and then returning back to their closed countries.
Right.
Yep. And so if we are faithful to, I use the word hospitality, but not in like a baking cookies kind of way, but really opening our home in a just a gospel-driven way, open our home to people who would be receptive to our kindness, receptive to our hospitality, and that would lead the way to us sharing about the God behind our kindness and behind our hospitality.
I'm actually going to say something too that will perhaps offend some people, or at least challenge them. if you, because you mentioned it and it's really important, you said, I'm not talking about baking cookies when I say hospitality, okay? I want to make a differentiation that is really important that the Bible makes. All right, so if you are really, really good at creating really fun environments, and you're like, maybe you're just awesome at cooking and you put out incredible charcuterie boards and you decorate this, and when people walk into your home for a gathering, they go, wow. But you do that and only invite your friends over, then you're not actually being biblically hospitable. Mm-hmm. What you're being is a great host, which is great. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Yeah. That we got to do that. Like we need time with friends. So we got to, and people that are gifted in creating great atmospheres, awesome, do it, right? But that's not biblical hospitality.
Yeah.
Because biblical, and here's the key, biblical hospitality is welcoming, this is what it means, welcoming in the stranger. That's what biblical hospitality means. Mm. When the Bible uses that word, it's talking about welcoming in the stranger.
Yeah.
So when we talk about hospitality, and you talk about that whole, like, okay, if Jesus has done this incredible work in my life of welcoming me in as the stranger into the kingdom of God, then how can I be a beacon in my own home or in my own context? It doesn't even have to be your home, of pursuing people such that I'm welcoming them as strangers to the gospel, strangers to the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God. That's more in line with that biblical idea of hospitality than just being great hosts. My wife is a great host. I'm not, Rachel's amazing at creating atmospheres. So I'm not downing that.
I'm not belittling.
That's important.
Well, but
right?
it's you a know, gifting. But, I believe it's a gifting, and like any gift, like think about, you know, my gift of being able to play an instrument. I can use that as an arrow pointing towards me, so that I will invite people over that they'll hear me play and, wow, Laura, you're really good.
Right? Don't you invite people over just to hear you
sing? Not that I would ever do
play music.
But the reason the Lord gave me that gift is that it would be an arrow pointing towards Him.
Yeah,
and hospitality is the same way.
Yeah, that's good. Overall, I mean, goodness, go back. If you missed any of these episodes, perhaps, I mean, there may be somebody listening that's like, somehow I've only tuned into this one and I'm hearing this recap and I want to go back and listen to some of these. Please do go back and listen to them. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, so many great conversations, so much rich insight and wisdom and perspective. There's a balance here when we talk about the mission of the church, where on one hand, we want you to be deeply encouraged. On the other hand, we want you to be deeply challenged. We want to be deeply challenged, and as the Lord, as the Holy Spirit pushes us into the mission and what He's gifted us to do. So, yeah. You got one last thing?
Yeah. I had one more. You did your three.
Oh, I didn't let you do your three. Oh my gosh.
It's okay.
Hey, this is all about me, Jeff. Laura. It's, you know.
No, it's okay. I would have just let you close there, my third one's pretty important. My third takeaway, and this kind of showed up in all of the different episodes, that the mission isn't optional.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was sitting here looking at my notes. I was like, what did I cut out? But no, you're right.
Well,
yeah.
We heard it in just kind of the urgency of what people like Katie shared and Sandy. But the reason that the mission isn't optional, it's not just because the need is so great. Mm. Being part of the mission of the church is not optional because that's where God is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to be with Jesus, that's where Jesus is.
Yep.
If we want to be like Jesus, that's what Jesus does.
Yep.
And so this beautiful picture of joining God where He's at work. I often think about, when I think about my life, will it be just a bucket of blessings that God's just pouring into it, you know, because I sit under, you know, such rich teaching here at Perimeter, and I have so many great books and resources, but am I just going to become full of knowledge?
Yeah.
Or will I actually be someone that goes and waters, that goes and shares the things? Because I want to not just learn about God, I want to be part of the mission with Him.
Yeah. Last thought with that would be, the mission is not optional because of the work that God does in us as we participate in the mission. I think we miss out when we're not engaging in the mission of the church, we miss out on so much of what God has for us in our own development and growth and maturity and experience of the Lord, right? There's so much, and that's what you're getting at of, you know, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that in my life, the most, I guess the easiest way to say it is the most mature Christians, the ones that are really, really walking with Christ in a way to where, man, Christ is just oozing out of them, are the ones who are faithfully engaging in the mission. And I don't think that's by coincidence. So I hope that's you as you watch and listen here. If it's not, it's okay. Grace upon grace. And God is growing you and using you, and he wants you in the mission as well. And he's given you gifts to engage in the mission. And so we hope that you'll jump in. If you don't know how to do that, if you're like, my goodness, I hear all this, but what are tangible ways, practical ways that I can be involved in the mission of the church through Perimeter Church? Go in our show notes. We'll have a link in there of a link you can click on. You can contact us. Somebody will follow up with you here at the church and say, oh, here's how you can get engaged. Here's how we can begin to have you involved in the mission of the church with us to experience Christ and his glory and enjoy him. So thanks for joining us for this series. It's been so, so good. I hope you would agree with us. Hope you've been blessed by it. And we will be coming back to you later this year with another Digging Deeper episode or series with many episodes. And so stay tuned for that.
Hey, and we also have one bonus episode coming out for this year. It won't be till May.
That's
right. But it's going to be Mission of the Church and how evangelism fits into all of this.
Forgot about that. That's going to be awesome. Be looking for us in May for that one. That one's going to be really special. So we'll be with you in May. And then beyond that, we'll stay tuned and we'll let you know.